Blog Talk Radio.
When we heed a certain call, when the world must come together as one, there are people dying. Oh, when it's time to lend a hand to life, the greatest gift of all. We can go on pretending day by day that the moon somewhere will soon make a change. We are part of God's great big family, and the truth, you know, love is all we need.
We are the children. We are the
brighter day, so let's start giving. Oh,
relationships don't work between black people, racism, white supremacy is the reason.
Absolutely.
Can't get a job in the hood and you educated, racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
Can't get an education in the hood because it's expensive, racism, white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Poor education in the hood you live in, racism, white supremacy.
Absolutely.
You live next to poor people who will rob your ass, steal and kill your ass because they don't have no options and they don't have no option to critically think, racism, white supremacy.
Yeah.
And I see that that's a problem. So I wanted to just make a pimp decision.
$1 trillion flow. From L.A. to Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama.
Nice.
This is Friday, the Trillion Dollar Flow night. Where's the money? Who got the money? We want to talk about economic development. We want to talk about money to get us in the next level. I'm praying for you. You thank you, Pastor Blue. I want to thank you for every telephone call, every letter to come our way. And I want you to know the $1 trillion flow. That means that money enough to buy what you want, money enough to do what you need to do. All the silver, all the gold belongs to God. You have not because you ask not. Today, I want to say to you something under 18. I want you to read that. And the 23rd number song, the Lord is my shepherd. I said, I want you to want for nothing when you're a child of God. I'm going to have Mary to read tonight the 23rd number song. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And what that means, David understood that God was shepherd. And God always takes care of the sheep. So David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And you, being a woman of God, a man of God, you shouldn't want for nothing. You ask not and you have not. On this Friday in May, I want to let you know the $1 trillion flow is what you need to go to the next level in your walk of life. I'm going to play a little bit of the $1 trillion flow. By that time, Mary, press one. I know you got the $1 trillion flow. You got Psalm 23. That's Mayor Hawkins out of Detroit. Flow.
$1 trillion flow.
$1 trillion
From LA
flow.
To Miami. Minnesota to Detroit. Chicago. Alabama. Sun to shine on me. I want my fellas to wake up. People of color all over. maybe you in Atlanta, Georgia, maybe you in down in California, maybe you in Texas, maybe you in New York, maybe you in Florida, maybe you in Canada, but you in the billion dollar book, maybe you in St. Paul, Minnesota, Indianapolis, Indiana, we come out the billion dollar flow. It's going on up in New York, in Chicago, Mississippi, Alabama, Georgia, New Orleans. It's going on, the billion dollar flow. Down in Texas, Arkansas, North Carolina, South Carolina, Phoenix, Las Vegas, New York. We're calling for the billion dollar flow. I see you rise up and be brilliant. Say I'm rich, because I'm in this billion dollar flow. I am the original man. I am the original woman. I must have my respect. I must have my education. I must have $1 billion. I must be rich. I must lift my brothers and sisters out of the ghetto and out of poverty. I'm in the billion dollar flow. Get what I want. Have what I want. I can get it now. Right now. Tell somebody I'm in the billion dollar flow. Look at somebody.
Tell somebody that you are $1 million woman. And you're $1 million man. $1 million woman had to have $1 million man. $1 million man needs $1 million woman. God bless you. This is pre-full of flow tonight. Get what you want. All the silver, all the gold belongs to God. David said, the Lord is my shepherd that I shall not want. And you being a woman of God, a man of God, you should not want for nothing. The car, whatever you need, the home. I want to decree to you tonight. I'm going to give you something tonight. But I want you to see. I want you to go to my website, thusleadabrahamyourlessites.com, and plant a seed for your harvest. Now, we're on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We're on from 9 to 10. And 9 to 10, I'm talking. And from 11 from 10:30 to 11, we have gospel preaching, prophecy, and sometime a divine healing class. Tonight is Friday night. It's the $1 trillion flow. Now, this government is spending trillions of dollars across the sea. They found out when $1 trillion went to Ukraine, $1 trillion went over to Israel. That is taxpayer money. And if that kind of money going out of the country, the people need to have a say so, not only the Republicans and Democrats. And then they fight about the little pennies they're giving for aid, for Social Security, and that's people that work for that money. I want you to get ready tonight for the trillion flow. Sister
Jesus,
you. Mary Hawkins is going to read the 23rd number of Psalm. I got your line on, Mary.
Okay.
Yeah, you can start reading.
Okay. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He making me to lie down in green pastures. He leading me beside the still waters. He restored my soul. He leading me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup running over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. I just read 23rd number, Psalm 1 through 6.
Now, thank you for that, Mary. Now, do you have a testimony? Now, I'm asking tonight for them that are asking God for something special. Maybe you want a house, you want a car. You want God to do something financially for you. And I'm going to give you some scriptures for you to make that come true. And the Bible don't lie. And I'm going to tell you, whatever you want, God got what you need. This is Friday, and this is the $1 trillion flow night. On Monday is Dr. King Movement. On Tuesday, Crossroads Ancestors. On Wednesday, Bible class. on Thursday, Divine Word, Word from God, and Friday, the Trillion Dollar Flow. And you can call me at 708-582-0372. Mary, did you receive my text where I was talking about what happened to the people coming in? Did you get that on the phone?
Yes, yes.
What did you think about that?
I think that they shouldn't bring them people over here unless they get them people, take them people to the doctor, because there's so much diseases over here right now. We're going through a lot with the coronavirus. We're going through with the monkey pox, and they don't need to come until they get tested. Then when they get tested, maybe then it'll be okay for them to come, but not right now. No.
I feel the same way you feel. And I was talking to Prophet Lorraine, was telling me the same thing. And I was talking to other people, other black people, was saying the same thing. If you bring people into your country, they need to be tested for all the diseases. That's right. They got scabies. They got monkeypox. That's the disease we know about. What about them other diseases where they're in the jungle, the bug bite them and go into their skin and go into their ears and their hair, lice, all of that. And right now, the white community is so racist that they just put them in. And the backlash of that is going to be a loss of sickness taking over. The plague, you know what? If you in the jungle for a month, you got mosquitoes, diphtheria, you got lice, got all kind of bugs bite you and get in your skin, get in your stomach system, and people are messed up. And they're bringing it right here in New York, Chicago, and they're bringing it in Texas and all over. And the public is so busy lying and tricking. We're seeing America fall from the inside out because won't nobody take responsibility for what's going on with good health. Like Mary said, we just come out of a series with this COVID stuff. We had to pick up.
Not and we're still not out of it yet.
Huh?
COVID is still going on right now.
Yeah. And the compound that you're bringing other people in that ain't never had no shot. Come from other countries. That's where the politicians, black and white, need to step up to the plate. I'm asking the people listening to me to call your congressman, call your alderman, call your mayor, call the Washington. How come these people ain't being tested? How can these people come to New York and put them off the bus and put them in a home and they ain't had no shot? They sick. And they older, airborne, okay? Why was they feasting at when they was in that shop? What kind of bath they was taking?
None.
They take them and put them right in the community. It's the serious part that's going on. I'm concerned about it, and you could be concerned about it, and everybody could be concerned about that. What's going on? I got somebody, 62, that's right. I got you here, Mary, that you're talking about it. Yeah, anything else about that?
Right, because right now the hospitals be so packed. If we got something, we can't even get waited. It take almost a whole day to the next morning here for it to get waited, though. So if we get sick, who going to take care of us? They not going to come over here and take care of us.
Well, those people are sick already, and the government is letting them in. And forget protect the citizen. One of the moves that the government made, number one, they didn't take care of the people coming into this country.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they've not took care of the people that fought, the veterans that fought in Korea, that died in mm-hmm. Vietnam, died in Afghanistan. To take care of some of these people have not seen a doctor or a dentist. And we're going through a period of people don't care.
Right. That's right.
Government more concerned about selling assault rifles than stop the killing,
mm-hmm.
save the baby. Now, what I'm saying
yeah.
now, the number one killer was the drugs. The number one killer now is the assault weapon. People shooting people with rifles. And these are
yeah.
machine guns. They're supposed to be mm-hmm. in armor, wherever they're fighting at. But they done brought them in America. They done brought them in Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana,
yeah.
in Texas,
mm-hmm.
in Chicago. Everybody got assault weapons. And the women and children are being killed by the hundreds.
Mm-hmm.
And you got some people, they're mentally ill, but they still got a gun. There's more guns in America than people right now. I plan a committee to go to Washington. I'm working on it. If you want to be a part of that commission, that committee to go to Washington, and we're talking about shut it down. These guns got to be shut down. We got to stop the killing of our women, our children,
mm-hmm.
grammar school,
yes.
and college. You can't go shopping in the mall. Because there's too many guns that's out there. These are some of the issues that the trillion-dollar flow see that the Democrats and Republicans is not taking charge. They worry about some of the world, but right here in America, people are dying. Right here in Atlanta, Georgia, right here in Birmingham, Alabama, right here in Texas, in Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, in Michigan, right here in St. Paul, Minnesota, Iowa, all over America, Washington, D.C., people are dying because of gunshot. You can't go to a store and get a loaf of bread. It's because the politicians that make the laws is not upholding the laws. They started getting money from the rifle association. They get money not to sell nothing. That's the serious part that we're talking about. We need more hospitals, more nurses, more doctors. And we're going to need more than that when this sickness hitting like it's hitting so bad coming in. Dr. King said this. He said, if we are to be a race of people, we need to deal with the racial problem that's going on in America. I mean, what he's saying, and I'm saying it today to you. You might have money, but money ain't going to buy your health. You got to go to a professional, cancer, TB, tuberculosis, breast cancer, cancer in the womb, cancer in the gut. And right now, those are we know, high blood pressure. But this new disease that they're bringing over from another country, we don't really know what them people got. And don't nobody care what these people got. And they don't give a damn. They're always concerned about more money. And that's the serious part of what's going on. The trillion-dollar flow, talking about you able to get your money and you able to help. See, this government started off wrong, Mary. When the slaves came over, They didn't give. When the Europeans came over, they gave them money. They gave them land. They sent them to school. That didn't happen to the black man. That didn't happen to us. And that's some of the stuff happened. I see 284-9771-9794 called in. And I'm going to see what they want. But that's some of the stuff happened. And we're dealing with that now. This is what's happening now, what Dr. King talked about. And that's some of the stuff that happened. Here's a young lady that got her hand up, Mary, and I want you to converse with her. And I'm on the show, but I'm going to give you her number where you can call her while we're on the show and see what she needs. The number is 248-977-1794. After I get off the air, you give her a call and see what we can help her with. This is Dr. King's famous speech about economics. I want you to listen carefully. But Mary read the 23rd number of Psalms. But I want you to get ready to read Philippians, put this down, Philippians 4:19, verse, and Philippians 4:19 and Philippians 4:13. God want to give you what you need to go to the next level. And you're seeking for your miracle from God. St. Luke 6:38. And Psalms 23, them the songs you read for your money, but you plan to see Pearl. And you want to expect your miracle to come. Mark 11:29, Mark 11:30, and Psalms 27, your money will be released. That's three keys will open up that spiritual door that been had you blocked. You say, I want a house. I want a car. I want to finish school. I want to finish college. I want a raise on my job. I want a new job. If you continue, read these scriptures I give you, God will give you just what you want. I got Dr. Hagin talking about the myth of religion. I'm spiritual. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. When you get out of being religious and be spiritual, things going to come to you quick, fast, and in a hurry. Just do what Dr. King said about the money in this country. I'm just listening very carefully. He pointed out how blacks being mistreated in 2023. They were mistreated back in the day, and we still mistreated. And this is what Dr. King said, political, physical, and economic.
We must also realize that the problems of racial injustice and economic injustice cannot be solved without a radical redistribution of political and economic power.
We read one day, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But if a man doesn't have a job or an income, he has neither life nor liberty, and the possibility for the pursuit of happiness. He merely exists.
Estimated that we spend $322,000 for each enemy we kill in Vietnam.
while we spend in the so-called war on poverty in America only about $53 for each person classified as poor.
The promises of the Great Society have been shut down on the battlefield of Vietnam, making the poor, white and Negro, bear the heaviest burdens both at the front and at home.
The other thing I want you to understand is this, that it didn't cost the nation one penny to integrate lunch counters. It didn't cost the nation one penny to guarantee the right to vote. But now we are dealing with issues that cannot be solved without the nation spending billions of dollars and undergoing a radical redistribution of economic power.
Yes, yes.
All labor has dignity.
Yes.
And you are doing another thing. You are reminding not only Memphis, but you are reminding the nation that it is a crime for people to live in this rich nation and receive starvation wages.
America's opportunity to help bridge the gulf between the haves and the have-nots. And the question is whether America will do it. There's nothing new about poverty. What is new is that we now have the techniques and the resources to get rid of poverty. And the real question is whether we have the will.
At the very same time that America refused to give the Negro any land, through an act of Congress, our government was giving away millions of acres of land in the West and the Midwest, which meant that it was willing to undergird its white peasants from Europe with an economic floor. But not only did they give the land, they built land-grant colleges with government money to teach them how to farm. Not only that, they provided county agents to further their expertise in farming. Not only that, they provided low interest rates in order that they could mechanize their farms. Not only that, today many of these people are receiving millions of dollars in federal subsidies not to farm, and they are the very people telling the black man that he ought to lift himself by his own bootstraps. Now, this is what we are faced with, and this is the reality. Now, when we come to Washington in this campaign, we are coming to get our check. I come here tonight and plead with you. Believe in yourself and believe that you're somebody. As I said to a group last night, nobody else can do this for us. No document can do this for us. No Lincolnian Emancipation Proclamation can do this for us. No Kennisonian or Johnsonian Civil Rights Bill can do this for us. If the Negro is to be free, he must move down into the inner resources of his own soul and sign with the pen and ink of self-assertive manhood his own Emancipation Proclamation. Don't let anybody take your manhood. Be proud of our heritage. As somebody said earlier tonight, we don't have anything to be ashamed of. Somebody told a lie one day. They couched it in language
They made everything black, ugly, and evil. Look in your dictionary and see the synonyms of the word black. It's always something degrading and low and sinister. Look at the word white. It's always something pure, high, and clean. But I want to get the language right tonight. I want to get the language so right that everybody here will cry out, yes, I'm black, I'm proud of it, I'm black and beautiful.
What is the relationship between this and the reality of the Negro masses?
Well, to move Martin out of it for a moment. Martin's very rare, very great man.
Back in the day, and we still fighting that racism today on our job. And you see what's happening right now. People coming in from other countries, getting jobs, in medical condition. They come and getting all of that. But I want to say to you tonight, God, I want to thank you, Mary, for your testimony and your thought on what happened. I hope Pearl is on tonight. Pearl, are you on?
Yes, I am.
Pearl, what do you think about all these people coming in here and they ain't getting no shot, they ain't getting nothing? What do you feel that leading up to?
It's leading up to more death in the United States. Because it's enough going on now, like all this killing and shooting and stuff, and then they bringing those people over here, and it made me worse.
Now, Mary said this, and you said it. Those people are coming over unprepared. Haven't seen a doctor. Haven't seen a dentist.
Right.
Full of disease, and plus some of them is criminals.
So
if they get their hand on a gun, they're going to be robbed and killing right along with other people.
Yes, and yes.
Black people got to wake up. Because black is killing black right now. Brown killing brown. And in the next 3 years, if things don't change, this country is crumbling up on the inside. Because nobody don't want to uphold the law. The law
yes,
makers.
Lord.
The law makers, those up in Washington, to make laws for us, but to be better. But since they're not doing it, we're caught up in a situation where you do for yourself or you don't do. The lady
prayer time all over the world.
Lady in Mississippi said she called the police at 4 o'clock. They didn't get there the next morning.
Oh, yeah,
that's the kind of stuff we're talking about. We're talking about politicians that is our leader. Sending money all across the world, but take care of the people, can't take care of the people in Detroit, in Illinois, Chicago, Minnesota, Indiana, Arkansas, Mississippi, Louisiana. They're not taking care of the people that take care of them. We need better health care. We need better jobs, and we need a raise on them that getting pension checks. There's too much money going on the outside. It's not coming on the inside. Most women fought in Vietnam and Korea. Trillions of dollars was spent on the war in Afghanistan. $1 trillion. I think they stayed there 20 years. They spent all kind of money. And people here in Chicago and Indiana and Wisconsin and Illinois and some part of Minnesota was suffering. People in Alabama, Mississippi, Arkansas, Louisiana, suffering because the jobs went across the sea. What do you think Nike make all their shoes? You buy a gym shoe, cost you $10 over there. And come here, they said it was $75 and $100. We got to begin to work out some of this mess and bring some sense and bring some, right now, I want to tell you and Mary, just in America, we don't produce nothing. All the stuff come from overseas. Look in the clothes you got. It said made in Germany, made in one of them foreign countries. I had a walking suit, a sports suit. My son gave to me, and I looked at it. This was made in Italy. This was made in Russia. And this was made in Turkey, in India. Now, we got to start a manufacturing of stuff made in America. Right now, some of the cars ain't got no chip because China is not sending no chip over them. We got to start pinning on other countries. And like our ancestors, they made everything right here in America. But these politicians so slick, they go get it for a nickel over in the foreign country and come back and sell it for $1,000. They sell it gym shoes for $1,500, gym shoes for $2,000. How much it costs to make them gym shoes on them sweat countries? $10. And you paying over him $1,000 for a pair of Michael Jordan or Nike, all of them. All the gym shoe people is in that cahoot. When America stops buying gym shoes, they'll change the policy. But it's a shame that our politicians ripping us off. They'd rather let somebody work in a sweatshop to make their stuff, giving them 50 cents an hour, and come over here and sell it to us for big money. And that's wrong. And God don't like that. God don't like ugly. And that's happened with that. I want to thank you, Mary, for your reading. And Pearl, what you want God to do for you, Pearl?
I want God to keep me well. And I want to progress, and
Mary,
that I stay well.
You want good help. Mary, what you asking God for?
A better help and a better home than what I have and a financial blessing.
Well, I'm praying that God, the Creator, will give you a financial blessing. I'm going to pray Dr. Roy Hagan out of St. Louis. He said a big lie. I want to listen to him tonight and talk about the big lie. But I want you to read those scriptures for your financial blessing. Anybody need, and Mary, make sure you call this number when I get you out. 248-977-1794, and see can you help that whoever it is, you know. Now, okay, thank you.
Our mess. It doesn't make sense, but you believe in it. Along with the virgin birth, that this woman had a baby without a man helping her. Atonement. That because he shed his blood, that all your sins are paid for, and the second and future coming of Jesus. Can we look at some contradictions? Let me ask y'all a question. How many contradictions do you need before you understand that something is fallible, or there's a fallacy to it? How many contradictions do you need? Everybody got one finger up. Good. Let's find a contradiction right quick. Okay, now let's look at the Bible. Those of you who don't have your Bible, just listen real carefully. But if you will, let's go to the book of John, Minister Stewart. I want y'all to listen carefully to these accounts here. The book of John, the 20th verse. Now, before she even reads that, I'm sorry, 20th chapter. 20th chapter of John. Everybody say this with me. Repeat after me. The gospel according to John is a forgery. I hope y'all don't mind me just coming raw today, but I don't feel, I'm not feeling the best, so I ain't got time to be beating around the bush, okay? But believe me when I tell you, if you can invalidate what I'm saying, I promise you, I will pay all your living expenses. I don't know the better challenge than that. Listen, if somebody told me that all I got to do is prove what they said wrong, they pay all my living expenses, trust me. For the next 3 days, I wouldn't do nothing but find the proof that he's lying. Because I know after I find the proof, I ain't got to pay rent no more. I ain't got to pay electric bill no more. I ain't got to pay a car note no more. I ain't got to pay no food, clothing, expenses no more, because he's going to pay them for me. That's better than a lottery ticket. I'm giving y'all a guarantee. Now, I don't want to make y'all think I got money, but I'm saying that because I know you can't find anything to invalidate what I'm saying. Trust me, I've tried it for 5 years. When I came into the knowledge that everything I've been preaching was a lie, from 1993 to 1998, I tried to prove. Tried to find one thing, man, to preach. And the only thing I could find was the more I searched, the more I saw how much I was lied to. By the bishops and the presiding elders and my own parents. They didn't know. They didn't know. They were dumb. You know what the problem was? They were teaching me what somebody taught them. And when y'all sit in churches and pulpits, y'all out there watching me. When y'all sit in churches and pulpits, that's exactly what's happening. The dude in the pulpit is telling you what somebody told him. That's called hearsay. Damn, that's deep. Living your life on hearsay. No wonder we gossip so much. That's why we gossip so much. We, our whole life, man, that's some deep stuff. Think about that. Think about your whole life is built on hearsay. Look at somebody and say, that ain't cool. That's why we don't know what we're talking about. Minister, 20th chapter of John, before we read about the resurrection account, I told y'all the book of John was a forgery. Any scholar, any second year Bible college student will tell you that the book of John was added into the Bible centuries after all these other so-called books. And it had to be added for a particular reason. What was that reason? John, the 30th verse, Minister Stewart, verse 30 and 31, what does it say?
And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in his book.
Meaning in the book of John, not in the Bible, in the book of John. Now notice the 31st verse. The 31st verse actually tells you why they compiled the gospel according to John and put it in the Bible. It actually tells you why they did it. A lot of people look right over this. It actually tells you why they actually made this book up and put it in the Bible. What does the 31st verse say?
But these are written.
These, or this book was written, why?
That ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Did y'all get that? It's right there in black and white. I'm telling you, the reason why this was written is so that you might believe Not that you would know, but that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that's what has controlled our thinking. Now, keep in mind what she just said, and now you understand why I coined this phrase. Repeat this after me. He who controls the printed page controls the thinking of the age. Did y'all get that? In other words, the European historiography is what controls the thinking of the masses. They wrote it and told you it came from God, and you believed it, and they're controlling you like a dog on a leash. Now, let's go to the first verse of the 20th chapter. Let's talk about this so-called Resurrection Sunday. Go ahead, Minister Stewart. Yes.
The first day of the week comes Mary Magdalene early.
Coming who?
Mary Magdalene.
And who else? There's nobody else there but Mary Magdalene, right? By the way, this is supposed to be the woman that Jesus married, by the way. Uh-oh. No, he didn't either. Jesus didn't have no wife. See, that's the problem. And that's some deep stuff, how our minds are so messed up. We actually get angry over the idea that Jesus had a woman. You don't like that idea. You can't conceive that. You can't process that. Now, my Lord Savior didn't have no woman. And you want to know why the spirit of faggotism is in the church so strong? Well, he did not have a woman. He didn't have a woman because he didn't exist. But suppose that he did exist. According to the Bible, Mary Magdalene was his woman. And the folk don't like that because Mary Magdalene was a prostitute. Y'all follow what I'm saying? How could Jesus marry a prostitute? What's wrong with y'all? Yes, say that. You got this lie. You done elevated the lie so high that any challenge to make you think about the lie, you get angry with the person who's making you think. Y'all hear what I'm saying? So the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene. Go ahead, Minister Stewart.
Yes, sir.
Now mind you, according to this verse we just read, only Mary Magdalene was there. Mary Magdalene didn't say nobody else, right? Okay. And then it goes on to say, while it was yet dark. Isn't that what it says? Now I want you to keep these points in mind. One person came to the tomb and was still dark. Go ahead.
And seeing the stone taken away from the tomb, then she rushed and coming to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved.
Now, according to what she's reading so far, one woman came to the tomb while it was still dark. The sun had not come up yet. And when she saw that the stone was rolled away, she did not go inside. She saw the stone was rolled away, and she immediately took off running and went and told the other brothers what happened. Right? Go ahead.
They have taken the Lord out of the sepulchre.
She didn't say he is risen. She did not say he is risen. She said they stole him. Somebody stole his body. You got me? Okay, go ahead.
And we know not where they have laid him.
Okay, and they don't know where he is. Go ahead.
He went over there and their other disciples and came to the
sepulchre. Uh-huh.
So they ran both together.
Here come Peter and some other disciples. They're going to come running to the tomb. Go ahead. Whoever this other disciple is, He was so angry about this that he outran Peter. He got there first. Are y'all seeing this here? See, you know, when you really just take your time and read just like you're doing right now, you see how stupid it is. But we didn't take our time and read this. We just heard, he got up. With all power in his hand. Go ahead. Read the story.
As he stood down and looking in, saw the little colored line, yet with teeth not in.
So the first dude that got there looked in his tomb, and he saw that the clothes he was wrapped in was there, but there was nobody. Go ahead.
Then comes Simon Peter following him and went into the clothes.
I can see Simon Peter, and I'm like, man, I ain't know you can run so fast, man. ain't nobody in there. Got the picture? Okay, go ahead.
And the people in the clothes were locked, and the napkin that was on his head, not lying, was let close.
Go ahead.
Wrapped together in a place by himself.
Continue.
Then went in also that other side, which came first to the comforter, as he saw and believed.
Believed what? What did he believe? It wasn't nothing to believe. What he was told was somebody stole the body. You got me? So what is he believing? Go ahead. Oh, I know what I just heard a preacher talk. He believed what the Lord had said before. But you know the Lord did say that he was going to get up on the third day. So that's what he believed in. Okay. Go ahead.
For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead.
Uh-oh, that just cancels out what I just said. Now don't.
The disciples went away again
to their own home. Now, listen to these stuff. Check this out. They went home. They came, saw the body had been stolen, and they went home. Oh, well. It's a wrap. They were stolen. We don't know where he is, so there ain't nothing you can do about it. It's all over with. Let's go on home. Let's go get a beer, brother. Come on, man. Got this? But his woman didn't take it so easily. What is it going to say?
The Mary stood without at the sepulcher weeping.
The brother said, let's go, man. Let's go. He's all angry. Come on, man. Ain't nobody else hanging around here. Let's go on home. Ain't nothing we can do about this. She's over. You know how the brothers are. See, brothers there, you know, hey, man, hey. Do they here, so let's go. You know, but Mary stood there having a fit. Crying.
And
go ahead.
She stood down and looked into the closet.
Now she decides to finally take a look in. When she first got there, the stone was gone. She took off running. Now she decides to look in, right? Okay.
And see two angels in white sitting.
I love how they always have angels dressed in white. Sitting. One at the head, go ahead.
One at the head, the other at the feet.
Yes.
For the body of Jesus catching.
Yes.
And they say unto her, woman, why are you
crying? Why are you crying?
Because they have taken away my Lord.
Because somebody stole his body.
And I know not.
Okay.
And when she had up there, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing.
Uh-oh. Go ahead.
And do not that is Jesus.
Now this is her man. This is her man, right? Okay. She turned around and saw this dude standing there, okay, and she didn't know it was her husband. Go ahead. gonna ask these dumb questions. Okay, I mean, who else would I be looking for? Okay, and you know, who wasn't you laying in here? Go ahead.
She supposing him to be the gardener.
How do you confuse your man with the gardener, the caretaker of the cemetery? Go ahead. Y'all relax there. Y'all relax. Go ahead. Yes.
Rabboni.
Yes. That is deep. He just asked her a question. Woman, why are you crying? And she thought he was the gardener. Now he says to her, Mary. And now she knows who it is. Maybe nobody can say Mary. You might have had a very white kind of girl. Now check out these biscuits. Now go ahead. Okay, now check this out. This is deep. This is important. This is important evidence in this case. Can we take this to court? She recognizes this is my man. And she gets ready to put her arms around her man. And he said, don't touch me. Can't touch me. Why can't she touch him?
Why am I not ascended to my father?
Don't touch me because I haven't ascended to the Father yet. In other words, like if you touch me, there's so much glory over me, there's so much power over me, there's so much divinity in me right now that if you touch me, you won't be able to handle it. You will die. So don't touch me because I have to ascend. Y'all see this?
Yes.
Don't touch me, God, and sisters, God, but do what?
But go to my brother and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father and to my God and your God.
Go tell the brothers that you've seen me and I'm getting ready to ascend to the Father in heaven. This is the concepts that we have in our mind. Y'all got those facts there? All right, now let's compare. Turn to Matthew. Verse 1. You remember the facts of the first presentation, right? Okay. I asked y'all, how many contradictions do you need before you know something is not right? Everybody held up one finger. All right. Let's read. Matthew 28, verse 1.
In the end of the Sabbath,
as it began to dawn. Now, what did the first account say? While it was still dark, right? Okay. The sun is coming up now. Go ahead.
Mary Magdalene.
Wait a minute. Whoa. I just asked you in the first account, Mary Magdalene and who else? And there was nobody else. So now, Jesus' other woman is coming along with Mary Magdalene. This is Mary, you know, the Mary and the Martha. Mary and Martha, y'all remember them? Okay, was Jesus supposedly married? Yeah, y'all didn't know that? Yeah. In fact, they put out a movie about it. some years ago. It was called The Last Temptation of Christ. Didn't y'all see? How many of y'all saw that movie? Yeah. And in that movie, he's supposed to tell you that, you know, he was on the cross. He came down on the cross and married Mary, and had children by the cross. So he can't free by the cross. Now you see why they banned the movie. Couldn't take it. Just the mere idea. Not only of him having a prostitute in his life, but him having a prostitute. Oh, come on. Couldn't handle that, man. They boycotted that movie all over the world. Read.
And behold, there was a great earthquake.
Oh, now we got an earthquake, okay.
And the angel of the Lord.
Now, mind you, in the first account, okay, there was nobody seen at first. He came and saw the stone and rolled away and took off running. At the brothers, they came back and looked in the tomb and they saw two angels dressed in white inside the tomb. Now here, these two women, okay, which really are Isis and Isis, an ancient Kemetic thought. That's where this whole thing stolen from the first place. Now get me? Here we got earthquake and the angel of the Lord descended from heaven. Go ahead. Now, this is some deep stuff because now these two women here, and they actually see the angel of the Lord coming down, but the stone is still got the tomb sealed, and the angel comes down, pulls back the stone, and sits on top of the stone. Go ahead. Answer, yes. Yes.
And for fear of him, keep him in chains. And
in other words, the caretakers in the cemetery, these are men now, saw this being of light sitting on top of this stone. Y'all bear with me and talk this stupidity for a moment, will you? Because it's so stupid, I'm getting frustrated talking about it. But I want y'all to see how confused we are and the mess that we've been leaving and got us messed up here. So you can go share it. Go tell your family, you know what? Big brother said some stuff to me that I've never talked about before. Let me share y'all with y'all right in the Bible what he shared with me so y'all can stop believing this dumb stuff. This being sitting on top of the stone, the caretakers who were brothers, men, got scared. And not only did they get scared, they got so scared that they passed out. Fainted. That's what it means to came as dead, and they fainted. Go ahead, fifth verse.
And the angel answered and said unto the Lord, fear not, for I know that you be Jesus.
Oh, this is deep now. This angel did not ask, who are you seeking? I know why y'all are here. Don't be afraid. You gotta look for Jesus who was crucified. Now this is some deep stuff. He is not here. For he is risen. As he said. Everybody ask yourself this question. Say with me. When did he get out of the tomb? Because the stone was still there when the lady got there. Y'all done dropped the case already. According to what we just read, the angel came down and rolled the stone away. Right? So where did he go? How did he get out of the tomb? It was still sealed. Now, you know what most churches say right now? I hear them saying it. Well, ain't nothing too hard for God. Ain't nothing too hard for God. He was God. He could get out without going to the stone. Wait, come on. You see how we made the thing? Read quickly. Yes.
And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see him. Lo, I have told you.
Now, wait a minute. I thought that we just read that Jesus talked to Mary in the tomb. Now we're reading, he done left y'all, he already on his way into Galilee. So go tell the disciples that that's where he's going to be. Read.
And he departed to
with fear and great joy and told his disciples what they had seen. Remember that. Remember that. Ninth verse, go ahead.
And they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. And they came and held him by the feet and worshipped him. Then said Jesus unto them, be not afraid. Go tell my brothers that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me.
Okay. For the sake of time, let's move forward. Go to Mark now. And let's see how this lie comes out. Mark 16. Verse 1.
And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James and Salome, had bought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him.
Oh, so now they're telling us the reason why they came. Here's the problem. You see, that wasn't an uncommon thing to go, and because it was a rush ceremony, so they're going to take spices and wrap, you know, anointed spices to help get rid of the bad odor, because they didn't have embalming fluid back then. Got what I'm saying? So they're going to anoint him with the spices and everything so his body's not stinking and da-da-da-da-da. But the problem is, why are you going to the tomb to anoint him when the tomb was sealed? You know, just like today, when they lower the casket in the grave, and then they put him in what they call a vault, and then they put the big cement top on the vault right there in front of you, okay, and you know it's there, why are you going to go back and chop somebody's body? That doesn't make any sense. Read. Okay, now the sun is coming up. Go ahead. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm saying? Everybody said poor planning. You come in to anoint this body, but the tomb is sealed. So on your way to the tomb, you ask yourself the question, who going to roll the stone away for us? Go ahead.
And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away.
Yes, go ahead.
It was very great.
Yes.
And entering into the sepulchre, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long black garment.
Okay.
And they were afraid.
Okay.
He said unto them, be not afraid. You see Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here.
Okay.
Behold the place where they laid him.
Okay. If you look at verses 9 through 20, if you guys got a red letter edition of the Bible, Bible. It's supposed to be the words of Jesus. Right? How did Jesus say all this if it was added into the Bible? I just presented some stuff to y'all that pretty much invalidates the validity of a so-called resurrection. Brothers and sisters, on this day, we need to understand that we need to exercise common sense. Everybody say common sense ain't so common no more.
The truth of the matter is, it's those who are in power that want you to behave a certain way. And the best way to get you to comply with what it is that they want you to do is to convince you that the will of God is such and such and such and such, and it's really their will. That's such and such and such and such. In this series that I'm doing here about idiotic concepts in religion, it is my intent, the whole purpose of this is to, as I said previously, to jumpstart your mental metabolism so that you begin to do away with thoughtlessness. I think since I've been here, and of course in the latter part of my previous pastorate, before I got so disappointed with us, as a result of trying to tell us the truth and finding out that we didn't want to hear the truth, and deciding to just walk away and say, I don't want to hear that. No, I'm not receiving that. You know, it's like, why not? Just prove it. Since, I would say maybe the last 20 years, I have been asking people to change. One of the main themes that I used to stress mostly when I first became the pastor here was having a renewed mind. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I used to stress that all the time. Stop being thoughtless. Learn how to think. Everybody repeat after me. The most painful thing for most people is having to think. Having to think is more painful than going to the dentist for some people. Having to think, man, is just painful. You know why? Because when you think, it automatically alters paradigm. As your teacher and spiritual leader, my goal is to equip you to free yourself. Now that's really all I want to do. I want to give you what you need to free yourself. I am not trying to lead you to freedom. Did y'all hear what I said? God didn't call me to lead you anywhere. I found out that's not a good thing. Most leaders start out mean. And then look back, where y'all go? I'm not getting put in that situation. My job is to teach you, to equip you with knowledge necessary to free yourself. In other words, I'm using another analogy. to be instead of living in mediocrity and a life of stagnation. Brothers and sisters, I say to you again, religion, religion has been used as an instrument for menticide. What is menticide? According to Dr. Bobby Wright, menticide is the deliberate and systematic destruction of the mind. Did y'all hear that? The deliberate and systematic destruction of the mind of a person or a group, with the goal being the extirpation, meaning the wiping out of, the pulling up by the root, or the complete extermination of that person or that group. When our minds are injected with idiotic concepts by way of religious teachings, we adopt and incorporate these idiotic thoughts into our viscera. We literally become, as I said previously, the walking dead. I don't know how many of y'all saw the movie Dawn of the Dead, Day of the Dead, Night of the Living Dead. Remember all those movies? I like horror movies, so, you know. But it's amazing how these zombies would actually walk around and engage in activity without thinking. And I see so many of us doing that same thing, dressed up every Sunday, looking good. Hold offices in our churches, bishop, district elder, district missionary, minister, prophet, apostle, all these titles, Sunday school teacher, deacon, trustee, steward, you name it, and dead. Dead because they are thoughtless. They're functioning in a position or out of habit, but if you ask them why they believe what they believe, they can't even tell you. Most of us have been born or raised under the influence of some form of religious superstition. Yeah. I want to show you something. I think it may be Acts 22. Brother Sharon, find for me, if you will. There's a passage in Acts where Paul was walking through Mars Hill. I want y'all to see a verse here. And he said, I beheld as I walked through, I'm trying to remember the actual passage. I want you guys to see it. I beheld among your, the key word is religious or superstitious. He says that I noticed that you church folk here are very religious. And I want you guys to understand that in the Bible calls religion, the Bible calls religion superstition. That's what I'm looking for. I want you guys to see that. Oh, here it is. Acts 17:22. Acts 17:22. Whoever has it, read it for me. Let's use the microphone. What does it say? Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and did what? You men of Athens,
I perceive that in all things you are
I perceive in all things that you are too what? The word superstitious is that? or one of the other translations read the same verse. Message or Living Bible is fine. Now, of course, the Minister Herndon's version, the King James version, uses the word superstitious. Right? Let's see what another version says instead of the word superstitious. What does it say? Did somebody, what does yours say? Yours says, he got it. You don't have to go any further. Read it nice and loud, brother. What does it say? Athenians? Yep. I perceive that you are very religious. One version says superstitious, another version says religious. You know why, y'all? Because religion and superstition are the same thing. I didn't say that. The Bible says it. Stevie told you about it, too. Oh, yes, he did. He said, there's superstitious writing on the wall. He ended his time by saying, if you believe in things that you don't understand, then you suffer. Superstition ain't the way. Religion ain't the way. And yet, all of us were raised some form of religion. Most of us were raised in a religion or a superstition called Christianity. Some of us were raised in a religion or a superstition called Mohammedism. And that's what it used to be called before it was called Islam. Most of us were raised, or some of us were raised and influenced by a religion called Judaism, or Buddhism, or Hinduism, or Zoroastrianism. And the list can go on and on and on, because all of it is superstition. What's deep about it is superstition was imposed on us by our parents. But they didn't mean no harm. You know why? Because they only taught us what was taught to them. You can leave that there. She don't need it. Here's the problem. Actually, it's a good thing, though. And that is this. Keeps progressing. Why does the world keep progressing? Because knowledge progresses. If there's no progress in your thinking, as is in most churches, you are dead. Because your mind is not doing what it's supposed to do. You see, every generation adds something to the knowledge of the previous generation. Our parents taught us what they had in their intellect. My parents taught me what they had in their intellect. But you've heard me say so many times, the mind cannot teach what it does not know. So we honor our parents, we honor their memory, we honor their esteem. But when enlightenment comes, when more knowledge comes, it causes us to exchange our superstitions that we had in our youth, like the belief in Santa Claus, the belief in the Tooth Fairy.
It causes volcanoes.
Now bear with me, because there are three chapters in the book of Genesis that talks about this. And I want to kind of peruse through all three chapters so y'all can hear how idiotic this thing is. Genesis 6, Genesis 7, and Genesis 8. Come on, help me out here. Readers, whoever going to read, Minister Ernie, doing okay. Genesis, let's start Genesis, the sixth chapter. Go right ahead. Now I want y'all to listen to this story. What did I say about it? A story. A story. A lie, actually. Okay, but it's okay to understand that it's not a lie if you understand it's only a story. If you understand it's only metaphor, if you understand that it's not historical, if you understand that this never happened, you'll be all right. What got us messed up is we're thinking it actually happened. And human history has been based on this story. The division in the world today is based on the outcome of the story we're about to read right now. The war that was fought between Arabs and Jews never would have been fought if this story had never been told. Because in this story, Noah had three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And Shem had two lines that came out of him, Arabs and Jews. You follow what I'm saying? And if Shem had never existed, there wouldn't be no fighting going on right now in the so-called Middle East. Because there would have never been a man named Abraham, which there never was a man named Abraham. But we were taught this happened like, you know, like the tooth fairy. Okay, and just like we believed in the miracle of tooth fairy putting a tooth, putting money up under our pillow, that was real for us. This story became real for us, but we never outgrew it. It's time for us to outgrow. Look at somebody say, oh, it's time to outgrow the lies now. Say, look back at somebody else and say, time to stop supporting the lie. How do we support the lies? You tithe to it every doggone Sunday. Not y'all, y'all. You who are watching this DVD, Reverend, you who's teaching these lies, who are watching it in the secret of your own office right now, not teaching these lies. I know you don't know no better, so learn. I had to do it, you do it. Shucks. Genesis, the sixth chapter. Let's do it again. What does it say? And it came to pass. Isn't that how they start off these stories? And it came to pass. Right off the bat, it's playing with our mind. Because it sounds like it happened. Go ahead.
When men began to multiply on the face of the earth.
Now check this out now. When men began to multiply on the face of the earth, what happened? Of course, and daughters were born unto them. I mean, you can't have population growth without women, right? What happened, Minister?
And
the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, go ahead,
that they were
good looking. I mean, some things just go without saying. It's called physical attraction. Right? Now, what would really be deep here is if the sons of God saw a crocodile. That's what we're writing about. If the sons of man saw that horse was looking kind of good. But the fact that they saw case is not talking about human men. In this case, this idiotic story, the sons of God are angelic beings. Y'all get this? The daughters of men are regular human women. Okay? So you're clear when you say the sons of God, ain't just talking about like the minister or some special guy. No, these were angels, supposedly. But they didn't have wings, though. These weren't the kind of wings now, okay? No, I don't know. These weren't like superhuman winged creatures, I think. But then again, it's idiotic. Who knows? What happened?
And they took them
wives and
all which they took.
These angelic beings took these human women and married them. Go ahead.
And the Lord said.
Now check this out, y'all. And the Lord said.
My spirit shall not always strive
to save. I'm not going to keep breathing life into human beings. Go ahead. He's only human. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a limit on how long they should live. Because, see, you know, the previously they were supposedly living up to 600, 800, 900 years old. Got me? Okay, so God decides at this point in human development. Got this now. God, we're talking about God. Whose plan wasn't really together, evidently. Because he now decides at this point in human history to put a limit on how old you can be. And that limit is 120 years. Go ahead.
There were giants in the earth.
Check this out now. There were giants because from the word Nephilim. Which means superhuman and very tall beings. Where did these giants come from? These giants, according to this story, are the offspring. These are what was born as a result of sexual intercourse from these angelic beings with human women. You got this? So if you can see in your mind two levels of existence, angelic level, human level. What happened in this idiotic story is the angels saw that these human women were fine and irresistible. So the two levels mixed and created something other than what God intended. God didn't intend for superhuman beings to exist. I love the way y'all looking to be like. You gotta understand how idiotic this is. You see, God didn't know that these angels were gonna have sex with these females. Okay? It pulled a surprise. God said, amen. This, I didn't know this was going to happen. Okay, so what happens?
And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men.
Yes.
And they bare children to them.
Yes.
The same became mighty beings, which were of old, wicked, old.
Yeah. Famous. Mighty men like Hercules. See, in other words, in theology, this is the explanation as to how Hercules came into existence. Apollo came into existence. Thor came into existence. These so-called Marvel comic people. You know Marvel comics? evil stuff. His mind is messed up. He got a covered mind now all of a sudden. Right? Go ahead, read. Now, we were taught that God is not a man, that he should repent. Isn't that what we were taught? But here it says God repented. It says, and it repented God that he did what? What kind of God are we talking about here? God did not know that this was going to happen. So since he just, see, this is the kind of thinking, y'all, that got us messed up. This is the kind of thinking that got us thinking that if we do certain things that God ain't pleased with, then God is going to adjust his program. Am I making sense? Okay, so what did God do? God got grieved because his creation messed up. Go ahead.
The Lord said.
Yep, God said, check this out now. I'm going to destroy the human race.
Both man and beast.
Man and beast. Now, why are you going to kill animals? They didn't have sex with the animals. Lion is still a lion. Sheep's still a sheep. Bear's still the bear. But God's mad now. God is mad. Everybody say this. Anthropomorphism. Let me change that word. It's really anthropomorphism, but everybody say this. Anthropomorphic ideas about God. That's why we messed up. Because religion describes God as though God is human. Anthropos means like man. Man's qualities. And so what man has done is man has assigned human qualities to God, like ignorance, like anger, like disappointment. God didn't know none of this was going to happen, so now God is saying, you know what? I'm changing this. What did God do? Go ahead. Yes. Yes. Oh, ain't this deep? Noah. Wasn't nothing wrong with Noah. Now, we read a little bit later, he was a drunk, though. He loved drinking, okay? Yeah, he got so drunk. Remember later on in the story, he got so drunk that he was passed out in his tent. And Ham came in and did something he wasn't supposed to do because he loved, you know, he was drunk. He found favor, grace in the eyes of God. I guess God had to use somebody, right, to carry out this story here. Go ahead.
These are the generations of Noah.
These are the generations of Noah. Go ahead.
Noah was just a man in the perfect generation, and Noah walked with God.
Noah walked with God. Nobody else did know. But Noah did. Go ahead.
And Noah began three sons. Ham and Japheth.
Oh, now remember, y'all, this is only a story. We were taught it as history. We were raised believing this actually happened. Go ahead.
The earth was also corrupt before God.
The earth was corrupt. Ain't that deep? The earth, not just the people. The planet itself was corrupt. What happened? See, all of this is a part of setting the stage for stupidity. I'm setting the stage for you to be an idiot. That's what it is. They made idiots out of us.
comes for me, for the earth is filled with the body of the wicked. And behold, I destroy the wicked earth. Raise thee in heart of those who move. Whom shall thou raise in the heart?
Now check out this. Now God gives Noah, right? I don't know where he got his carpentry skills from. I don't know where he got his Black and Decker tools from. But hey, he's getting ready to build a boat. You are right. He's getting ready to build a boat. He's the only righteous man on the planet. He happens to be a builder. Not a preacher, not a teacher, a builder. A boat builder at that. Okay? Noah and his three sons are getting ready to build a boat. Give us the dimensions of the boat, please.
The length of the ark
will be 300 cubits. So that you guys will know, a cubit is 1.5 feet. Got me? So that means that this boat is 450 feet long. Got me? What else? 50 cubits wide, which means 75 feet wide. Right? Go ahead. 30 cubits high or 45 feet high. Now see this thing in your mind, right? 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Look at somebody say, that's a big boat. And one man and his three sons built it. Got me? Go ahead. Gotta have a window.
And in it, the cubit shall thou finish thereof.
Yes.
And the door of the heart shall thou set in the side thereof.
Yes.
And the door of the second and third story shall thou set.
Ah, three stories high. Go ahead.
And behold, I, even I, will bring a flood of waters above the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven. Everything that is in the earth shall die.
Everything on the planet is going to die. Everything on the planet is going to die. Read.
But with thee I will establish my covenant.
Now, in this scene, he said he established a covenant with Abraham now, but Abraham ain't born yet. So, Noah, I'm going to establish my agreement with you. Go ahead.
And thou shalt come unto the ark. Thou and thou.
But if not, there was a day when many of the Israelites found themselves in bondage in Babylon. And there was a king of Babylon by the name of Nebuchadnezzar. You read about him a good deal in the book of Daniel, and it stands as an epic that will remain stenciled on the mental sheets of unfolding generations. Nebuchadnezzar was a mighty king, and when he ruled, he ruled, and when he issued an order, he meant business. And Nebuchadnezzar issued an order
to
He made a golden image, and his order was that everybody under the reign of his kingship had to bow before that golden image and worship it. Now, those of you who read the Bible, remember that story. One day Nebuchadnezzar called in the judges and the governors and the sheriffs, and they had a dedicatory service for this golden image. And then he said to them, I'm instructing you to see that everybody bows before this golden image. There were three young men around there.
Right, without something to eat. See what it is.
One's name was Shadrach. The other one's name was Meshach. And the other name was Abednego. And they answered, and I read it from the scripture, and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this manner. If it be so,
in other words, a clean
our God,
seven pairs,
whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy God, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up.
Yes.
Now I want you to notice first here that these young men practiced civil disobedience. Civil disobedience is the refusal to abide by an order of the government or of the state or even of the court that your conscience tells you is unjust. Civil disobedience is based on a commitment to conscience. In other words, one who practices civil disobedience is obedient to what he considers a higher law. And there comes a time when a moral man can obey a law which his conscience tells him is unjust. And I tell you this morning, my friend, history has moved on. Great moments have often come forth because there were those individuals in every age and every generation who were willing to say, I will be obedient to a higher law. These men were saying, I must be disobedient to a king in order to be obedient to the king. And those people who so often criticize those of us who come to those moments when we must practice civil disobedience never remember that even right here in America, in order to get free from the oppression and the colonialism of the British Empire, our nation practiced civil disobedience. For what represented civil disobedience more than the Boston Tea Party? never forget that everything that Hitler did in Germany was legal.
Yes.
It was legal to do everything that Hitler did to the Jews. It was a law in Germany that Hitler issued himself. It was wrong and illegal to aid and comfort a Jew in Hitler's Germany. But I tell you, if I had lived in Hitler's Germany with my attitude, I would have openly broken that law. I would have practiced civil disobedience. And so it is important to see that there are times when a man-made law is out of harmony with the moral law of the universe. There are times when human laws are out of harmony with eternal and divine laws. And when that happens, you have an obligation to break it. And I'm happy that in breaking it, I have some good company. I have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
How many cubits deep was this water?
I have Jesus and Socrates. And I have all of the early Christians who refused to bow. Now the second interesting point is that these men never doubted God and his power. As they did what they did, they made it very clear that they knew that God had the power to spare them. They said that to the king. Now we know that the God that we worship is able to deliver us. And that grew out of their experience. They had known God. They had experienced God in nature. They knew God as the creator.
With all these animals on it.
And then they had seen God in history. And then they had seen God, I'm sure, in their personal life.
Yes.
They never doubted God's power to deliver them. Let me move now to the basic point of the message. Oh, this morning, if we forget everything I said, I hope you won't forget this.
Yes.
Came to the point after saying our God is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace.
And his family and the
but
creatures that was on this boat.
If he doesn't deliver us, we still are not going to bow.
150 days. How many months is that, y'all?
But if not, do you get that?
150 days. That's how many months?
These men were saying,
so for 5 months,
our faith is so deep.
The earth was covered in 15.
We found something so dear and so precious.
22 feet.
That nothing can turn us away from it. Our God is able to deliver us, but if not, this simply means, my friends, that the ultimate test of one's faith is his ability to say, but if not. You see, there is what you may call an if faith, and there is a though faith.
the rest of these chapters.
And the permanent faith, the lasting, the powerful faith is the though faith. Now the if faith says if all goes well,
how intelligent this God is.
If life is hopeful,
okay,
prosperous and happy, if I don't have to go to jail, if I don't have to face the agonies and burdens of life, if I'm not ever called bad names because I've taken a stand that I feel that I must take, if none of these things happen, then I'll have faith in God. Then I'll be all right. That's the if faith.
So he brings them off the boat and kills a couple of them.
You know, a lot of people have the if faith.
Right? Go ahead.
Jacob found himself in that dilemma once, and his faith was contingent on an if. And he said, now, if God will be with me, and if he will keep me in this way that I go, and if God will give me bread to eat, and raiment to put on, that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. That's the if faith. Jacob hadn't quite gotten to the essence of religion. There is a though faith, though. And the though faith says, though things go wrong, though evil is temporarily triumphant, though sickness comes and the cross looms, nevertheless, I'm going to believe anyway, and I'm going to have faith anyway. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. No, Job got to that point, and he had a though faith. He looked out, and everything that he had been taken away from him. And even his wife said to him, now, what you ought to do, Brother Job, is to curse God and die. God has been unkind to you. You should have let God know a long time ago that you would only follow him if he allowed you to stay rich. If he allowed your cattle to stay in place, you ought to curse him and die, Job, because he hadn't treated you right. But Job said, honey, I'm sorry, but my faith is deeper than that. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. My faith is a bold faith. And this is the essence of life and religion. The question is whether you have an if faith or whether you have a though faith. You know what this says in substance, that ultimately religion is not a bargaining matter. A lot of people bargain with God. If you just let me avoid pain, God.
Brothers and sisters, let's look at this now.
If you allow me to be happy in all of its dimensions, if you don't allow any suffering to come, if you don't allow frustrating moments to come, then I'll be all right. I'll give you a tenth of my income,
and at that time,
I'll go to church and I'll have faith in you.
600 species of mammals.
Religion is not a bargaining experience.
1,600
It's not a commercial relationship. And you know, no great experience exists in the bargaining atmosphere. Think of friendship. Think of love. And think of marriage. These things are not based on if. They are based on those.
Different kinds of insects.
These great experiences are not based on a bargaining relationship. Not an if faith, but a though faith. And I'm coming to my conclusion now. I want to say to you this morning, my friend, that somewhere along the way,
is what we call a microscopic,
you should discover something that's so dear, so precious to you, that is so eternally worthful, you will never give
it.
You ought to discover some principle.
Yes, sir.
You ought to have some great faith that grips you so much that you will never give it up. Somehow you go on and say, I know that the God that I worship is able to deliver me, but if not, I'm going on anyhow. I'm going to stand up for it anyway. What does this mean?
It
means in the final analysis, you do right not to avoid hell. If you're doing right merely to keep from going to something that traditional theology has called hell, then you are doing it. If you do right merely to go to a condition that theologians have called heaven, you are doing right. You are doing right to avoid pain and to achieve happiness and pleasure, then you are doing right. Ultimately, you must do right because it's right to do right. You've got to say, but if not, you must love ultimately because it's lovely to love. You must be just because it's right to be just. You must be honest because it's right to be honest. This is what this text is saying more than anything else.
And
finally, you must do it.
Just looking at the amount of figures that I just
because it has gripped you so much that you are willing to die for it if necessary.
How many rabbits?
I say to you this morning that if you have never found something so dear and so precious to you that you will die for it, then you aren't fit to live. You may be 38 years old as I happen to be. And one day some great opportunity stands before you and calls upon you to stand up for some great principle, some great issue, some great cause. And you refuse to do it because,
like I said, those have covered the whole
you are afraid. You refuse to do it because you want to live longer. You are afraid that you will lose your job, or you're afraid that you will be criticized, or that you will lose your popularity. Are you afraid that somebody will stab you or shoot at you or bomb your house? So you refuse to take the stand. Well, you may go on and live until you are 90. But you are just as dead at 38 as you would be at 90. The cessation of breathing in your life is but the belated announcement of an earlier death of the spirit. You died when you refused to stand up for right. You died when you refused to stand up for truth. You died when you refused to stand up for justice. These boys stand before us today. And I thank God for them. But they had found something.
And some preachers pronounce it.
Fiery furnace couldn't stop them from believing. They said, throw us into the fiery furnace. But you know, the interesting thing is, the Bible talks about a miracle. Because they had faith enough to say, but if not, God was with them as an eternal companion. And this is what I want to say finally. There is a reward if you do right for righteousness' sake. It says that somehow
indiscriminately
that burning fiery furnace
innocent people
was transformed into an air-conditioned living room. Somebody looked in there and said, we put three in here, but now we see four.
God is doing this.
Don't ever think you're by yourself. Go on to jail if necessary, but you never go alone.
The only way you can do this,
take a stand for that which is right. The world may misunderstand you and criticize you, but you never go alone. For somewhere I read that one with God is a majority. God has a way of transforming a minority into a majority. Walk with him this morning and believe in him and do what is right. And he'll be with you even until the consummation of the ages. Yes, I've seen the lightning flash. I've heard the thunder roll. I've felt sin breakers dashing, trying to conquer my soul, but I heard the voice of Jesus saying, still to fight on. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. No, never alone. No, never alone. He promised never to leave me, never to leave me alone. Where are you going this morning, my friend? Tell the world that you're going with truth. You're going with justice. You're going with goodness. And you will have an eternal companionship. And the world will look at you. And they will understand you. For your fiery furnace will be around you. But you go on anyhow. But if not, I will not bow. God grant that we will never bow before the gods of evil.
You need to stop saying the devil until you can give the devil an identity. We need to return to the awareness of the truth and facts about who and what we are. Once you return to that, brothers and sisters, all these stories that's in this manual for human control, notice what I just identified it as? The manual of human control. That's what this is. Y'all call it a Bible. It's really the manual of human control. Once you learn how to, y'all, and I know I'm getting ready to shock some, but when I do what I'm getting ready to do right now, it's going to actually hit somebody in the chest. It's going to, some people are so emotionally attached to this book right here that when I do what I'm getting ready to do, you're going to say, oh, Lord. But when you're able to take this book right here and do this to it, you won't be free. You hear what I'm saying? As long as you carry it under your arm, I don't mind you carrying it if you're using it properly as the weapon to educate your people and to show them how they have been enslaved. But if you hold Genesis to Revelation as in fact the Word of God inspired, I'm going to deal with all that in this series, then you are in trouble. And you are a major contributor to our continued oppression. You've got to free yourself. Set yourself free. said in my close last week, last time I did this, return to the knowledge of who you are. Sankofa.
Yes.
The people who came to us with the Bible came to our land, as Bishop Tutu says. When they left the land, we had their Bible and they had the deed. You understand what I'm saying? You've got to prepare yourself for what's coming. Brothers and sisters, I can't stress to you enough, and I don't claim to be a prophet, but mark my words, in the next 18 months, stuff is going to get so horrible in this country that if you don't reclaim your common sense, you're not going to be able to last. Did y'all hear what I said? Things are getting ready to get stupid here, man. They're launching war against Gaddafi in Libya. Let me not just say Libya. North Africa, period. This country wants to dominate North Africa. They dominated West Africa a long time ago. They dominated South Africa a long time ago. You see, when they decided to let Mandela out of prison. Notice how I said that, right? When they decided to let Mandela out of prison, they knew that there wouldn't be no threat. They knew that. Countries that can pose a threat. Gaddafi ain't nothing to play with, man. I'm telling you, Gaddafi got friends everywhere. I guess I need to be telling you this, Obama. You know that. Man, this government is going to cause a lot of our youth to die. I don't just mean in the streets. I'm talking about the bill that Obama passed to mandate our youth serving in the military. How many of y'all saw the movie Stormtroopers? The Stormtroopers where, you know, the insects? Look at it again if you haven't seen it and see what a citizen is. You can't even be a citizen, of course, in this movie. You can't be a citizen until you give military service. That's just setting the stage of what's getting ready to happen. This government is going to be snatching your children unless you separate yourself from the mess. This government is going to pass laws to snatch your children. Do y'all not know that the age of accountability is now 16 years old? Did y'all hear what I said? It was 18. 16 years old now. 16. It's still babies. And we trust the devil. We trust the devil. In fact, we say, in God we trust because it's on the money. I ain't talking about God. I'm talking about gold, oil, and diamonds, and drugs. Brothers and sisters, I'm imploring you in my clothes. I implore you to join in with me if you got the guts to do so. Notice how I said that. Now, if you don't have the guts, not a problem. Not a problem. I'm not going to hold you responsible for being a punk. I will not hold you responsible for punking out. Okay, if you're a punk, you're a punk. Let's keep it real. If you're a soldier, if you're a warrior, you're a soldier, you're a warrior. think I remember this time when the Nation of Islam used to roll up in a van and snatch people, take them back, get their head right, and then bring them back to where they got snatched from and say, where do you live? Because you can drop me off here. No, where do you live? We're taking you home. They had a cleanup campaign of cleaning up the brothers. Now they have an army called the FOI. Now, I don't mean to cause no trouble, but somebody better do some thinking. Because Gaddafi is ready to equip. Did y'all hear what I'm saying? Gaddafi is trying to tell us black folk in America, you have enough people to have your own army. And then he turned around and said, and we will give you arms. Okay, I better use up all of that. Brothers and sisters, I sing a song. What will your answer be? Can you say truthfully that you've done your part? Each day, can you say truthfully that you stood tall as a soldier and shown someone the way? Can you say truthfully you've done your all in all? What will your answer be? Will your response be, well, I went to the village every Sunday. I showed up every Sunday. You know, I listened to Brother Ray. Yeah, you open your eyes. Brothers and sisters, opening your eyes is one thing. That's almost like waking up. You're in bed, you woke up, but you didn't get up. Yeah, my message line in bed awake. A lot of us are awake, but we're still in bed. We're still in our comfort zone. We're still under the cover, under the comforter. It's time to get up now. Y'all hear me?
Yeah.
But the first thing you got to do to get up is get your mind right. You got to get all this stupid stuff out of your head. Okay? Get all this whole stuff that, God ain't going to please you. God is not pleased with you now. That's why we're in the shape we're in. Because we're complacent. God is not pleased with us now, man. Look at where we are as a people. Look at us. Look at our children. Look out in the street. I close. I think it's Surah, the 13th Surah in the Quran, the 11th verse, somewhere in there. It says plain as day, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they first change it themselves. Get this dumb stuff out of your mind. Rise up and be a soldier. Be a warrior. As my brother just said, be an Ursa Mahabra. Learn to take some, I'm going to say it. Learn to take off the head of your enemy. Brother Ray tells us to go out and kill. No, I'm not saying go hurt anybody. Okay? You know, it's just like this past week while I was in Atlanta, I found out there was another bishop in Atlanta. I put it on my Facebook page. You can read it. Another bishop molesting children in Atlanta. And guess where he come from? Eddie Long's church. One of Eddie's sons. Not his biological son. I mean, he raised him. See, brothers and sisters, you don't understand what I'm saying. We need to have, I know preachers ain't supposed to talk like this, but I ain't a preacher. Got me? I'm a liberator, okay? We need to have something in place. And I'm not promoting violence. it any better way than I'm saying this. We need to have something in place that when somebody messes with our children, they understand that it's terminal. Come to the children. We need to have something in place, man. When you mess with our children, you ought to know we're not even going to have a court case. This ain't even going to be a court matter. Because the warriors in the African community, coast to coast, border to border, the warriors in the African community are going to deal with you. Now, y'all think I'm wrong for saying that?
No.
I don't care if you think I'm wrong or not. Put in place to where you understand if you miss. See, in Islam, it's clear. If you steal, you lose your hands. It's understood. You follow what I'm saying? And I'm not making that up. I know what I'm talking about. I don't know how many of you guys maybe heard me talk about this in my previous ministry. Man, somebody broke in our church and stole the sound system. And a sister was outside walking the corner that night, and she saw the brothers who did it. And she told us, and we were sharing our building with some Muslims. And so the brothers came to me and said, "Hakeem, you want us to deal with this?" And I said, "Deal with what?" He said, "We got our way of handling this." I said, "I don't want to know about it." That was on a Sunday night that happened. That Tuesday, they found the brother tied up in the basement, no hands. You know what? From that day forward, Brother Pugh, we never had another problem. We could have left the doors unlocked. It would have been fine. Because the word went out in the city, okay, this is what's going to happen if you steal from Life Center. It needs to be understood, brothers and sisters. We got to stop playing around. We got to stop playing with the devil, man. Stop playing. Take charge of our community and set our people free. All right, I'm going to stop now. I'll continue with the next part of the series. Ashe.
I could definitely feel something. As I was walking, it feels like home. That was the first time that my body started like. I don't know if you turn out for a moment, right? It was sort of that feeling. As spirits manifest, they will actually electromagnetic field to the area. Brandon could be in some real something was off, and I wanted to find out what it was. And whatever it is. White shadow appeared out of nowhere. Something that I can't explain. That is the most clear that I have ever been. Checking credit score, right? No, it's identity threats appear in more places than before. Identity is an important connection. Loans, good time, good time. All information, good time. Let's not manage to refresh your identity.
You don't want to mess with